Welcome to the KHPC Daily Devotional Podcast from Keystone Heights Presbyterian Church, a Reformed congregation that was planted in 1989 here in Northern Florida. Our goal is to glorify God in all of life, to advance the kingdom of God to all people, and to extend the covenant of God to all generations. Our hope is to see Reformation one soul at a time. And now, here's Pastor Rob Hamm with today's daily devotional from God's Word.
Well, welcome back to the KHPC Daily Devotional Podcast. Once again, I'm your host, Rob Hamm, and I'm privileged to serve as the pastor of Keystone Heights Presbyterian Church. We're a Reformed congregation here in Northern Florida. And today, on this Thursday edition of our broadcast, I am absolutely thrilled to be joined by a very special guest. He's one of my favorite church historians and Bible teachers, Dr. Stephen J. Nichols. Dr. Nichols serves as the president of Reformation Bible College, as well as the chief academic officer at Ligonier Ministries in Sanford, Florida. He's the author of many books, such as Martin Luther, A Guided Tour of His Life and Thought, Jesus Made in America, A Cultural History from the Puritans to the Passion of the Christ, and his newest release comes out soon, I believe, called A Time for Confidence, Trusting God in a Post-Christian Society, which is being published by Reformation Trust Publishing. Dr. Nichols, thank you so much for joining us today, my friend.
Oh, it's my pleasure to be on your podcast. Look forward to a good conversation with you.
Me too, me too. Well, before we jump into our discussion today, I just want to let you know that not only are you one of my favorite church historians, but you also happen to be my four-year-old son's favorite church historian as well. Because about a year ago now, my family and I, we were down in Sanford and we're visiting St. Andrew's Chapel, and we were looking around the Bible College, and we happened to run into you. Do you remember that?
I do. You know, I was mentioning this to you. We call them Reformed tourists that we get showing up down here. And, of course, we're on the campus with St. Andrew's Chapel, where RC co-pastors with Burke Parsons and Ligonier Ministries, and then the college campus is here. So.
Yeah, just a little chapel, not anything. Yeah.
I always think of this. I'm grateful that RC put a cathedral right next to our college campus. It's a nice visual to have.
It looks like it was helicoptered right out of Britain and dropped right into Florida. Well, I remember we met, and you found out that our kids' names are Calvin and Owen, and so you whisked back in a fury, and you brought two books. I think it was two books by Stephen Lawson on Calvin and Owen.
That's right. We have our little candy store, I like to call it here, where we keep it stocked with books. So anytime anyone visits, I'd be glad to show them around and give them books. And you know, these are great names for your sons, Calvin and Owen. So
that's right.
They might as well get to know who they're named for, right?
That's right. And so I guess the recruiting process just starts early at Ref Bible College. So
I will hold a scholarship for Calvin and for Owen. You can have my word on
it. I'll hold you to that. Yeah, he's already planning his collegiate years now. So he's future alumni for sure. Well, in a moment, Dr. Nichols, I want to talk with you a little bit about Reformation Bible College and the work that you guys are doing down there. But as we get started, I thought that you could share with our listeners, from the perspective of a church historian, a little bit about the significance of the year that we find ourselves in right now in 2017, specifically in regards to a very important date, which is going to be occurring, Lord willing, sure, this year in October. So maybe you could share a little bit about that.
Sure. But, you know, it's such a big event. We might as well take the whole year to celebrate it. I was thinking about this. I've been waiting for this year for easily 14, 15 years. Wow. It goes back to in 2003 was the 300th anniversary of Jonathan Edwards. And at the time, I was doing a lot of work on Edwards. And I remember thinking, well, this is great timing, you know, to be interested in Edwards when there's a big anniversary. And in 2003, Edwards was 300 years old. It was his 300th birthday. And I thought, gee, what's next? And of course, in 2009, we had the 500th anniversary of John Calvin's birth. Mm-hmm. So that was an event worth celebrating. But of course, you could see what was coming on the calendar. So it was October 31st, 1517, that Luther posted the 95 Theses to the Schlosskirche, or the castle church door at Wittenberg. And that sparked the Reformation, which of course sparked Protestantism, which all of us, whether we're Baptist or Presbyterian or in an independent church, we all can trace our roots back to that moment. It was not just a moment for the church. I mean, this was a moment in Western history when you think about what comes out of the Reformation. And that was the beginning. And Luther, sort of the first salvo, if you will, towards the medieval Roman Catholic Church. And so that was an event that happened in October 500 years ago, but such a massive event with so much significance. I think you're wise to take a whole year to be celebrating it and thinking about it. So let's get started. Let's get started now.
That sounds good to me. let's start here. What was the Reformation, Dr. Nichols? What series of events or issues led to Luther nailing those 95 theses to the door in Wittenberg all those years ago? What was the Reformation all about?
I think you see what it's about in terms of two mottos that emerge from the Reformation itself. So one of those mottos is a motto that's going to come to mark Calvin's Geneva. So John Calvin down a little bit south of Luther and a little bit towards the west there in the Swiss city of Geneva, right up against the French border, was going to become the motto of that city. And Calvin's Reformation there is post tenebras lux. The Latin translation there is after darkness, light. Hmm. Of course, we have to say, well, what was before the light and before the light was darkness. And this was a moment in which the gospel wasn't entirely eradicated. The true church, there's always a remnant. We see this even in the pages of Scripture in the Old Testament. Even though the nation Israel appears to be wholesale, sold out, you know, to pagan idolatry, no, there's a remnant. There's a remnant of true worshipers. And so in the centuries of church history, there's always a remnant. But the institutional church had eclipsed the gospel, had distorted it, had perverted it, and was teaching a false gospel. And so there was a darkness that was over the land and over the church even. There's another motto that Luther used. Actually, he turned a medieval motto on its head. This motto had made its way into the liturgy, and it's simply this, in the midst of life, we die. Now, you think about that. In some ways, you know, in our current moment, we've quarantined off death, you know.
Sure.
We sort of put our elderly in a home where we can't see them. We sort of act as if we're never going to die. But in the Middle Ages, death was very much a reality. You know, it faced you, and there was not the awareness of the modern germ theory or the advances that we have in modern medicine. So it was a susceptibility and a tenuous nature to life. And so a phrase that captures that is, in the midst of life, we die. So this is the eve of the Reformation, death and darkness. And it's literal, but it's also figurative in that it represents a spiritual darkness, a pall that was just over the church. And so along comes the Reformation. And what we see in the Reformation is darkness being overcome and conquered by the light of the gospel. And Luther turns that phrase around. In the midst of life, we die. He says, no, no. In the midst of death, we live. Right? Because we're all born in sin. And what Luther's talking about there is, you've got it all wrong. You don't. It's not that death's coming to you. The death that matters, you are. You are separated from God and under his wrath. And here's the beauty of the gospel, that in the midst of death we live. And so what the reformers were about, they were about turning the church's eyes back to Scripture, turning the church back to see the gospel, turning the church back to see Christ, and giving Scripture and the gospel and Christ preeminence and prominence. And so once again, the life and light, and right, that's New Testament language, life and light reigned and overshadowed the darkness.
Well, amen. Well, as we look back then at the history of the church over the past 500 years, Dr. Nichols, what are some specific or central lessons that were recovered at the time of the Reformation. What do you think were the most important contributions practically that those early reformers made to the Christian church?
You know, that is such a great question. I think we sometimes think of the solas, and we refer to this as a way to capture Reformation theology. Mm-hmm. And not only does it capture Reformation theology, but it also expresses what are the emphases of the reformers. So we use this Latin expression, sola, meaning alone, mm-hmm. and we talk about sola scriptura. The reformers, they called this the formal principle or the formal cause of the Reformation. This is the question of the church's authority. And so what the reformers were saying here was scripture alone. And again, this gets back to restoring the prominence of scripture. Then we speak of the material cause or the material sort of result of the Reformation. And that's in the sola fide and sola gratia, that salvation is by faith alone, through grace alone. And of course, that reminds us that ultimately it's not our work, but it's Christ's merit and Christ's work alone that saves. Mm-hmm. In fact, I've heard it said, you know, if you want to sort of catch somebody, you could say, actually, the truth is we are saved by works. We're just not saved by our works.
Right, right.
We're saved by the works of Christ. And so we're reminded of Christ alone and then for the glory of God alone. But I think we can also look at this, you know, congregational singing. This was not a practice before the reformers. So you're sitting in church, you're overwhelmed by what God has done for you and the goodness of God and the grace of God, but you can't sing about it. Mm. You know, instead of 4,000 tongues to sing, there's no tongue that can sing. It's only the church choirs that get to sing in the service. Mm. And Luther puts a congregational singing back into the practice of the church. There's a discussion among the reformers between hymn writing. Calvin's going to go a different direction and talk about exclusive psalm singing.
Right.
But he's going to have congregational singing. He's actually going to hire musicians to teach his congregation how to sing in parts. Hmm. Probably some of the most beautiful congregational music ever comes out of St. Pierre's Cathedral in Geneva. There was an emphasis on Christian education. You know, the reformers wrote catechisms. Why did they write catechisms? You know, they wrote them to teach children doctrine. They never wanted to assume that the next generation would just catch it. Mm. You know, in fact, it's the opposite. We have to be explicit and programmatic and purposeful in teaching the next generation. So we have Christian education in the Reformation. We've got missions. You know, this is the untold story, as far as I'm concerned. The untold story of the Reformation is missions. Mm. Luther had students come to Wittenberg from all over, from deep in Russia, from up north in Finland and Norway. These were Catholic lands or Orthodox lands. They come to Wittenberg. They learn the gospel. They go back. In fact, Luther's first hymn was written to commemorate martyrs who were martyred when they leave Wittenberg and go back, whether it was, I can't remember if it was Norway or Sweden mm-hmm. or Finland. It
right,
was
right.
one of those three.
One of the ends, yeah.
One of those. And they're martyred for their belief. And Luther writes his first hymn, "A New Song Shall Here Be Begun." It commemorates these martyrs. Mm. Calvin's Geneva sends missionaries to Brazil in the 1550s. Mm. I mean, think about this.
Wow.
The difficulty of travel. And I mean, it's just 1492 that Columbus sailed. And here we are, not even two full generations later, and they're sending missionaries to Brazil. Mm. So that's, and there was preaching. You know, it was just the mass and an occasional homily. But now, no, it's the preaching of the word that God has ordained in the pages of the New Testament. So you look at this, and of course, the reformers had their faults. They weren't perfect. But you almost want to say, wow, all the pistons were firing, and God really used these reformers to turn the church around.
Wow. In 1996, the Alliance of Confessing Evangelicals, they put together a document that they called the Cambridge Declaration. And in the opening paragraph of that document, they said that evangelical churches today are increasingly dominated by the spirit of this age rather than by the spirit of Christ. They said, today, the light of the Reformation has been significantly dimmed and the consequences that the word evangelical has become so inclusive as to have lost its meaning. They end by saying, we face the peril of losing the unity that it has taken centuries to achieve. Dr. Nichols, do you agree with that assessment? And if so, why is the truth of the Reformation just as vital and important for us today as it was all these hundreds of years ago?
You know, I do. And I think you could probably make a case that that statement in 1996 is even more true 21 years later. Mm. Evangelical as a term has become even more elastic in terms of, you know, at that point, there was the evangelicals and Catholics together. So that was there in the American church. But since then, we've had the so-called new perspective on Paul.
Right.
And this idea that Luther was misreading the Gospels and reading the Gospels and the epistles, especially Paul and Paul's interaction with Judaizers, Luther was misreading that because he was reading it against the backdrop of Roman Catholicism and not against the backdrop of early Judaism. And so there's this notion of a new perspective on Paul, which basically is saying we've got to move away from the doctrine of justification by faith alone. Hmm. How much more of a definer of evangelical do you need than that?
Right,
you know?
Right.
Evangelical is the gospel, right?
I remember, I think it was Dr. Carl Truman, he wrote a book called The Real Scandal of the Evangelical Mind, where he said, today we've lost the evangel, and that's more of the scandal than anything else. So,
So, you know, you've got that. So I think that's very true. So then, again, we don't want to say, Reformers had it totally right. They did have their faults. And really what we want to say, too, is that what we see in the Reformers is a restoration of the biblical view of the church and a biblical view of the gospel. And so we look to them because they so well point us back to Paul, back to the text. And the truth is the church in every generation needs a reformation. In fact, I just heard a Reformation scholar make this comment, and I think it's a great comment. The issue is not that we need a reformation. It's that the church in every generation needs repentance. Mm. It's so easy to lose sight of the gospel. You know, Luther preached his final sermon at Wittenberg, and then he was tired. He was feeling his age. Hmm. Then there was a controversy broke out in his hometown of Eisleben, and he had to leave in February of 1546, and he had to go back to his hometown of Eisleben. He had preached his last sermon in January at Wittenberg. He didn't know it at the time, of course, that it would be his last sermon. He got to Eisleben, and there he died. And so his body was taken back and buried at Wittenberg. Hmm. But that ended up being his last sermon. And in his very last sermon, he told the congregation at Wittenberg that what he feared the most, and he said, and I see it already happening, we are forgetting the gospel. Hmm. He said, it's like you're going right back to the superstition. In fact, it's in that sermon that he says, you know, you're going back to see Joseph's pants. Well, this is a reference. Right. To the relic of Joseph's pants, as if, you know, going and praying before Joseph's pants are going to save you. And in that sermon, Luther says this great line. He says, Joseph's pants and the other and the Pope's other secondhand junk. So, I mean, this is classic Luther.
Yeah.
But this is what he's saying. You know, it's such a the gospel is such a tenuous thing because we think not that we're too bad for it. We think we're too good for it. Mm. You know, the gospel, I think this is true. I'm not a psychologist. The gospel is rejected because it tells me, I can't do anything. You know, as Luther says, the gospel is a shouts no to human achievement. Yeah. And that's just something that's hard for us to swallow, especially us as Americans, right?
Right. A friend of mine, we always joke when we're talking about the gospel, we say, you know, our natural inclination is to that of self-justification. That's what we want to do. We want to save ourselves. We think we can do it. And the gospel says, no, you can't. It's only Christ.
Exactly. And that's true of a church in every age, right? And so every generation needs a reformation. Every generation needs repentance.
Well, you know, Dr. Nichols, on top of being a church historian, as I said at the beginning of today's broadcast, you also serve as the president of talk about the Reformation. You're the president of Reformation Bible College down in Sanford, Florida. And so, Dr. Nichols, what is Reformation Bible College? How did it come to be? And what is the mission of this school?
This school was founded by R.C. Sproul. And I've heard him say this many times, and if he were sitting here, this is how he'd answer this question. He'd say, you know, I don't even have to close my eyes. I can see it. I can see the Reformation Wall in Geneva. And there stands these towering four figures of the Reformation. And then he says, you look just behind that, and you can see the stone structure, the stones of the original academy at Geneva. And this was the school that Calvin founded. And R.C., you know, he founded Ligonier Ministries back in 71, Renewing Your Mind, Table Talk Magazine, the National Conferences, Teaching Series, Holiness of God, everything. The culmination of all that work was his awareness that he needed to start a college. And so he founded this college and named it, which I think is one of the, it's a great name, yeah. Reformation Bible College. And so we opened our doors in 2011. We have since had graduations. We have our students in numerous seminaries, graduate schools. We have a student right now pursuing a PhD at St. Andrews in Scotland. But we are here to teach theology. We exist to educate students in the knowledge of God. We believe that today is an urgent moment for the church, for culture. You know, we all sense it, this post-Christian world we're living in. And ultimately, our problems are theological, which means ultimately the solution is theological. And that's what we do here. We are here to teach theology.
Well, let's you know, one of the things that the reformers taught much on was the doctrine of vocation. That not only, you know, pastors and ministers are the ones with vocations, but if you are a plumber or baker or candlestick maker, you also have a vocation. And so, what would you say to the students out there, high school students who are thinking about where to go to college? And they're like, well, I don't know if I feel called to, you know, pastoral ministry or church ministry or something like this. But, you know, is Reformation Bible College still for me? What would you say to that student?
You know, yeah, certainly. And I think we definitely want to be involved in preparing students for the ministry. But we also recognize this wonderful Reformed notion of vocation. And it's very much a part of who we are in training students. We have a foundation year program here. So if you want to come here and spend 1 year getting grounded in a solid foundation of theological studies and biblical studies, and then go pursue a degree or pursue a career, we'd be happy to have you come and spend a year with us. Again, I think as you look at the world we're moving into, whatever career we go, someone goes into, whatever their calling is, we are ultimately called to proclaim and contend for the gospel. We believe here that, and strongly in the good, the true, and the beautiful. You know, these are very much, these aren't words that go back to Plato. These are words that go back to Scripture. It's the God of the true, the God of the good, the God of the beautiful. And so grounding students and grounding future students here, I'll speak to you directly, grounding you in the good, the true, and the beautiful, that is probably one of the best things you could do for whatever your calling is and whatever God has for you in life. And so we'd be happy to have you come and spend some time with us here.
Well, speaking of that, I understand that you guys are holding a preview weekend this March down at the college. Can you share with our listeners just a little bit more about that event and maybe that in conjunction with the 500th anniversary National Conference as well?
Yeah. So, you know, every year we have our national conference, and this year with the 500th anniversary, we're really pulling out all the stops. We have 17 speakers, I believe it is, and we're already sold out. We have well over close to 5,000 people converging for our conference. But we have a few slots for our preview students. So this is a time you can come on Wednesday, spend all day here with us, sitting in on classes, meeting with faculty, having lunch with fellow students. Then that night, there's a concert. RC had released A Glory to the Holy One, a CD of hymns recently. There's now going to be another hymn. We're going to sing some songs from that and Songs of the Reformation. So that's Wednesday night in St. Andrews. Concert, full orchestra, full choir. And then Thursday, Friday, and Saturday is our national conference at First Baptist Church in Orlando. We have John MacArthur's here. Mike Horton is joining us. Alistair Begg, all of our teaching fellows, Steve Lawson and Godfrey and Sinclair Ferguson and Derek Thomas. And of course, RC will be speaking. A few international speakers will be here. Stephen Tong from Indonesia and Augustus Nicodemus Lopez from Brazil will be here. And even a man who planted a church in Rome, in the shadow of the Vatican.
Wow.
So it's just going to be a great conference. So if you want to come and spend some time with us on our campus and then be at the conference, we'd love to have you as our guest.
All right. Well, Dr. Nichols, it's truly been an honor to have you join us on the podcast today. Thank you so much for sharing your wisdom and your passion for church history and the gospel. And I hope and I pray this will be a great blessing to those who are listening today. And I hope that we can have you on again at some point in the future.
Oh, yeah. It's been my pleasure. I'd love to. And good to connect with you again, Pastor Rob. Thanks.
Thank you. And again, if you're a parent of a teenager or a high school student yourself, be sure to head over to reformationbiblecollege.org for more information on how you can sign up to attend this year's spring preview weekend at Reformation Bible College. And so you can get your free ticket to this year's League International Conference, March 9th through the 11th, to hear more from Dr. Nichols, as well as other faithful Reformed pastors and theologians from around the world. Dr. Nichols, thanks again, and we'll talk to you soon.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to the KHPC Daily Devotional Podcast, a ministry of Keystone Heights Presbyterian Church. If you would like more information about our church or the Reformed faith, please visit www.khpcworship.org. That's www.khpcworship.org.